Welcome back to EverQuest Revisited, Episode 4, the podcast where we talk all things EverQuest. I want to give a special shout out to Nick the Bard, who reached out to us on Twitter and cleared up the confusion from the last podcast around the Mana Stone and the Scimitar of the Mistwalker. Thank you, Nick. This episode, we are continuing from where we left off in Episode 3, and I'm excited to have special guest Gildor, aka Simon, back with us. So, if you haven't listened to Episode 3 yet, you may want to give it a listen first before diving into this episode. As always, I want to hear from the listeners. I'll be sure to read your questions out on the podcast and answer them on future episodes. Reach out to me on Twitter at EQRevisited or send an email at EQRevisited@outlook.com. Also, just a quick reminder for my long-time listeners, or a friendly welcome to new ones. In the game, I play Organicus, a level 120 bard, on the Antonio Bell server of EverQuest Live. It would be great to connect with you in-game, so don't hesitate to say hi. So a quick recap on the last episode. Simon and I discussed our experiences with lower levels in EverQuest and how dangerous it was before we could actually meet up in the game. I was from Kunos and Simon was in Kethalin, and we finally met up in High Pass Hold. So hi, Simon, and welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Darren. It's really good to be back. Since we last spoke, decided I'd go and get a map and have a look at some place names, so I'm not dithering too much, I hope.
Jog your memory, that old memory.
Jog our memory. I was quite right that it was Freeport, so at least tick for me, for memory for there for Freeport, and then West Freeport going into East Commonlands, West Commonlands, and I think the zone of death for me was Kithicor. Is that right?
Yeah, Kithicor Forest.
Yeah, that was where I lost my body and had to come back to that. I think that was actually a point where I seriously thought, I'm going to quit this game. Just death at that point and losing everything, that has taken me, a few weeks or something at this point we've been playing?
Yeah, we've put some time into it, yeah. We put definitely some time into it before we could meet up.
So if I can't get my body back, if I can't get my sword, if I can't get my crappiest armor in the world, I'm sure it was.
Your leather pants.
Was it that good?
Your 1AC leather pants.
Yeah, that would be it. I probably made them myself. So Kithicor, something that came up about this was, in the last time we were talking about how there was nighttime and daytime and how it changed your ability to see things. And I didn't know anything about this Kithicor forest. And obviously I chose to run across it, but for those who are familiar with this zone, if you try to cross it during the daytime, then it's low level mobs and things. It still would have been high level to me, but they wouldn't have killed me immediately, I don't think. But if you cross at night, then suddenly they're like level 40 mobs or something like that.
They all retconned, let's put it that way, probably at your level.
Red to me. It was red or dead red, if you were red dead. And there was no redemption, I'm afraid. Anyway, I remember having help getting across that zone, which led to High Pass Hold. And this is where we met, in a sense. I remember walking into this High Pass Keep and seeing these super high-level goblins or whatever, and hightailing it back out of there. Nope, too high level. They hit me, I die.
That's right. So High Keep on the higher levels, it was kind of like a building with a library and a general storage. You had a bank there, you had merchants there, and then you had to go down into...
It was the basement area.
Basement areas, that's it. The lower you went down, then you started coming across these little goblins. I think that was probably... We did group before, I think, a little bit in High Pass against the orcs. I can remember that quite well. We probably grouped a little bit.
At that point, we didn't really ever split once we were together.
Yeah.
What I remember about that time was, like you say, just the three of us went hacking and slashing. And I was the only one who had bells at that point, which could do any kind of healing. I could heal you for about 10 points.
Carboni must have been able to heal a little bit because he was a paladin. He had some form of heal.
Could he only heal himself at that point and not others? Whereas I had a spell which could heal myself different from how I could heal others. Yeah, I don't really recall, but I do know this much. My ability to heal as such was basically useless. I could possibly stop myself dying from poison or something like that. I couldn't heal myself in the middle of a battle or something in any meaningful way. What I recall is, like I say, the three of us at that point, because we're still so low level, we could get in there, you were tanking and everyone else was hitting and we were killing things. And that was okay. We got some experience and I would just waste all my mana trying to heal you, which didn't work very well. That's what I recall of that time, particularly. I think what we were learning is we needed someone who could really do the healing. Although we had, like I say, a warrior who should be able to take the punishment, who couldn't hold the aggro.
Not the best, no. That was a problem with the warrior. I think probably the paladin probably overtook a bit of that as well with the tanking. Yeah. So I think when we moved into high keep, realized we needed help and we needed to group more. Where we spent a lot of time in that high keep, probably easily to our level 30s, I would say. We spent most of our time grinding down in there, killing those goblins and making groups.
We stayed there way longer than we needed to. I think it was an interesting one. When we got to the point that these things were getting so easy and the experience was coming really slowly, just like it was for me around that level 10 back in Faedwyr, I think I just literally stayed around the greater Faedwyr, and that was pretty much it. I didn't bother much with Crushbone. You know, this is a time before we actually had the Nexus Spires and things like that.
And we didn't know what we were doing, let's be honest.
Well, that's true. But, you know, I do remember that when you started grouping with people, that idea of the experience of the kill being shared, I kind of like that in a way. It did make me feel like I wanted everyone to be bashing stuff so that our DPS should be high enough. You know, everyone should be killing. That was what it was when I was level 10. Everyone was just beating things, kicking things, punching things. Even if they didn't have a weapon, they were still having a go. I just remember even clerics, druids, or magicians, if they weren't casting a spell, they were trying to get a thump in there, or they were trying to bash them with a stick or something. And even though it was pathetically small and we were way better in the DPS, that was what was going on, that the classes were becoming more and more specialized. They weren't going to get into the fights. They should stay away and they should be casting spells. They were casters after all. This is why I'm saying, like, we've got three warrior type.
Well, mainly classes.
They're all based on the warrior. I mean, there's only one warrior that was your class. When you look at what the paladin was hybrid, it was half warrior, half cleric. And that was what made that define them, that their spells and things were partially really from the cleric. They had some which were specific to their class in the same way that rangers were half druid and half warrior. That was what the ranger was meant to be. But what was special to the ranger was the bow, in theory anyway. It didn't turn out to be that special for quite some time. And even when it did become, for me, special, it still wasn't that special. I thought the ranger was going to become more of like a ranged fighter just by the name. Ranger, you know, I'm thinking bows, I'm thinking fighting at a distance like any other spellcaster, if you see what I mean. But in this case, I'm not casting spells, I'm just constantly whacking arrows out there or something. I thought that's kind of where I was heading, but it didn't work out that way. They were meant to be a DPS class, but the DPS was better by everything else. If you were a monk, you were insane. If you were a beast lord alone, let alone the beast, could outperform a ranger. Warrior is the only thing I could kind of keep up with. And you guys, at your later levels, you struggled to get groups and things, as I recall.
Yeah, exactly. For me, lower levels, didn't matter what class. I think when you were sort of 1 to 10, maybe even a little bit higher, I don't think it mattered what class you were. It's more, yeah. You were kind of very melee, hit. And you're right, as you started going up the levels, and probably 15 maybe plus, I think your class then started to shine, and that's when you started to get your spells, and that's when you started to know your role within the group. So you had your healer class, you had your cleric, the shaman was quite a good class. Yeah. They were great for buffing, they could also heal. Your druids were a very similar class, where a bit of a mixture of everything, where they could get away with healing. They weren't the best, could get away with it, but again, they had their buffs, and obviously don't forget their ports. You had your wizards, you had your mages.
I remember druids for ports. I don't remember shamans for ports.
No, that's what I'm saying, the wizards and the druids, and they used to make all their money before the old days.
Me off so much that they would charge you for just taking you somewhere, and literally in the blink of an eye, they're earning money. How did a ranger earn money? I'll run you from one zone to another because I can.
You had sow. At least you had sow. You could cast and charge with sow.
Nobody wanted it. Everyone wanted it for free. You could give you that. I can't remember what the spell was, but the enchanter or enchantress could give you spell which would boost your mana regeneration.
Clarity?
It could be.
I think it was clarity. Yeah, that was it. So again, it really good for getting your mana. But
there are certain classes that seem to be destined to make a lot of money out of the game just because capabilities or spells of that class. For instance, how many classes could actually really pick a lock? And picking a lock to get through a certain door for some of those epic quests and things, whether you were going to hire a rogue or not, I don't know.
Let's move on from High Pass. You never really ventured back to the side of your woods, if you like.
I didn't go back to Faedwyr, no, because we were so connected at that point. And as we moved into, like you say, High Pass Keep and going into the basement area there, where there were a number of rooms where these things would spawn, I remember people just sitting in these rooms waiting for these things to spawn.
Camps, yeah.
We used to camp certain rooms.
And the goblins, trains up the steps.
That was the first I really experienced trains, when somebody went down there, just run on in, especially when they were lower level. So it's like, oh, let's have a little look around. And then they start being chased. These goblins seem to communicate with each other, and everybody would, them would just focus on this one little idiot that decided just run in and take everything and then run out of the zone. And of course, if you were left in the zone after they had left and all these were coming back, then the number of people that died from trains in that game, it was, well, funny, but terrible at the same time. If I didn't know better, I'm sure, well, I don't know better actually, but I'm sure there are people that actually did this in an effort to try and get you to leave the zone, they could go in it.
Do you recall if we could bind there?
I believe you did.
Because you died, because I can remember dying there, especially I can remember dying at the High Pass and having to run all the way through Karana's and all the way along the long ledge, all the way back to High Pass to get my corpse naked. And that was a nightmare. I don't know if we could bind there.
That was nothing. That was easy compared to the route I had to take.
That was a far journey. That zone was massive. You know, the Karana's, I mean, it was a massive. I still think it's the biggest zone in the game. Yeah.
You were at Kinos. And I remember it was you that pointed out to me that Kinos spelt backwards was Sony EQ. And I thought, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was bring us forward a bit now. So we reminisce and we could go on for hours and about Eyekeep and the adventures we had there and the trains and the deaths. I want to move on sort of to our first experience of meeting up with a certain, and I'll see if you remember, it was a certain barbarian. We met up with him in Everfrost Peaks. Can you remember
that was off of Blackborough, wasn't it?
It was sort of Halas and, north of Blackborough.
Yeah, I remember Shortfall Glade and the Kinos Hills, and then you got to your Blackborough and you go through there.
I think it was Halas, wasn't it? And Everfrost Peaks. Can you remember meeting up with this guy? And all I can remember is we bumped into him. I'm not sure where, but I think it was we were killing, was it Frost Goblins or something like that? And we bumped into this guy. Can you remember? He was a big, broad guy. He had his armor, if I remember, was like some bear skin on him or something. Does that ring any bells when we met up with this guy?
Yes. I can't remember his name because he was the leader of the Wolves of Antonica.
Exactly. That's what I was getting to. Yeah. So that was our first
experience. I know exactly who you were going to because he seemed awesome.
Yeah.
He was way high level. He was already level 50 or whatever the limit was at the time. I remember this guy was well up there. He was certainly a lot higher level than we are. And he just seemed awesome in the sense that he could kill anything. And he seemed so self-assured and so confident in the way that he spoke to us and everything. I think we kind of just latched onto him to some degree.
That's when we sort of joined the guild. And that's our first real big experience of probably the community of EverQuest more. We've been in our groups and stuff like that. And Carboni, so three of us, we always had our little niche. But this was the first experience of actually joining a guild, going into guild chat and saying hello. And then all of a sudden, 50 to 60 people, hi. And that was where I think, for me, EverQuest come into its own. I don't know about you. I think that's where it became more than just a game. It became a lifestyle, I suppose. I know it sounds bad, but it did.
It had already managed that to some degree because, I mean, when I think back to the way that we communicated back then, we still had telephones, and the internet was a separate thing. We had EverQuest could actually work on a dial-up modem.
It was a dial-up. There was no broadband. It was that, Yeah. And I think it was good old, I think I was on AOL at the time. That was exactly it. So this is, for me, the communication, obviously, we didn't have any of this voice chat or anything like that. It was all just through guild chat.
Oh, one of the things that I remember that annoyed the hell out of me, people just typing in all sorts of garbage and shouting it out through the zone. And this was actually slowing down the game. Did you ever have an experience like that?
No, I can remember the zones getting so busy, I had to face a wall because I couldn't move, especially in certain areas like the bank, I think Planes of Power, where we had the Plane of Knowledge, I think
it was. Bizarre, couldn't move in because there were hundreds of people trying to sell their stuff.
By the bank in the Plane of Knowledge, and you had to look into your bank, you had to face a wall and then click the guy so you can then open up your bank. The game would go so slow.
You needed a better graphics card.
Back then, I mean, I can't remember what PC I had. EverQuest, for its time, was very heavy on PC.
Yeah, I don't think it was very well programmed. The level of graphics, I mean, something that your listeners don't know is I am actually a software developer by trade. When I actually say I'm looking at EverQuest, there must have been either reasons why they developed it this way or why the performance seemed to be so slow at times, and it seemed unnecessarily slow. It's like they could have optimized it a bit more, I felt. And certainly other games that came along afterwards seemed to prove that the same setup that we had as PCs was actually adequate for those games, which looked a lot better than EverQuest.
Yeah.
As we upgraded and we got, you know, better machines, I remember the laptop that I had at the time was capable of running EverQuest, not brilliantly, good enough. Remember, we got to the point where we had broadband connections at this point. I remember we used to two box. We try and run two characters at the same time. So just the two of us could do four characters. There was a fifth or maybe even a sixth. But when we were all doing that, it was very difficult to do a good job of, say, being two characters at the same time. If I was just doing Gildor and just going off and throwing arrows at things and trying to bring them back, I could do Gildor really well. And then I wanted Gildor in the fight and I'd be forgetting to cast other spells with the other character and things like that. Or I'd focus on that one whilst Gildor was being killed off. It's like, oh yeah, better resurrect him after the fight.
Yeah, so obviously back to the guild and that side of things. Yep. Obviously, I think, really, I would love to remember his name, but I can't. If I remember rightly, he sort of decided to quit the game and the reins got handed over to myself and yourself.
Yeah, it wasn't that long after. I mean, he brought us in and we got to know everyone. And I think you hit on something which is quite true. I think for you, that moment when we joined the guild and suddenly there's all these people that could talk back to you in a group, you know, that was a whole new experience. It wasn't like shouting out in a zone. But these people could be anywhere in the whole game and still say hello to you. And it was just like, you know, a universal telephone call. It just seemed like wild. Yeah. And I knew I was blown away by that concept. At the same time, it really seemed to hit you more than anybody else, the way that connected you to the game more than anything. But I think for me, just the camaraderie of us being together and not being able to kill things unless we work together, that whole thing of needing to group, because it was a whole new experience for us and we were kind of growing together through the game. I already was kind of invested in us and our little group, you, me, Carl, and anybody else we could get to come in. And so, you know, this idea of sitting there and shouting out, anyone want to join a group, because they weren't even tools to say that you're
you had LFG.
Yeah, LFG.
You used to be able to go into LFG mode. Can you remember that? You type /LFG.
I remember you just go into the zone and shout out.
Oh, you could LFG. Do that. But you used to be able to tag yourself, go /LFG. And then what you could also type in a command which was saying who, LFG or something like that. And it would tell you what level they were, what class was looking for a group. And you could just message them and say, are you looking for a group? I don't know if that was server
that was one of the upgrades I think you're talking about.
Well, it all merges. So it was still around about that time because, you know, it's still early doors and people, you know. But so for me, I think we sort of met a lot of good people along the way. Obviously, we took over the guild. And like you said, I think I'm that natural person who liked to reach out, talk to people. And I think when the guild leader sort of wanted to hand that down, he seen that I was quite active and very supportive of other players, trying to always arrange a group, always trying to arrange something, a hunt or a grind.
It's really weird because in real life, you are a bit of an extrovert, especially when we were younger. You were much louder than you are now even. And you were a real extrovert. No, but I mean that in a nice way, that, you know, the girls gravitated towards you because there was this air of confidence about you. And I actually felt that that translated into the game, which was really weird, because people, when they are trying to role play and stuff like that, they may act differently to how they do in real life. I mean, you know, we watch videos and things of people playing EverQuest at the time who literally did not have a life in real life. And yet they somehow were paying for a monthly subscription in their phone line or whatever. And this one thing is like a video recording in my mind. I can't picture the guy, but okay, an audio recording in my mind. I can see it and hear this guy saying one of these EverQuest conferences. I certainly remember the honesty with which he was saying it. And he said, in real life, I'm a nobody, but in EverQuest, I'm a somebody. And it meant so much to him. And that EverQuest kind of was his life at that point.
Well, I think that was for many people. I mean, I've had conversations recently with guild members, but we've had these conversations. That's a good thing now, obviously, with time moving on. We Discord now, and so we live chat. You don't know who you're talking to, because we don't really talk about real life too much in the game. You don't know who you're talking to. You could be talking to somebody who's a multimillionaire, and in the game, he's not the best player in the world. And that's how he's seen. He's seen like, oh, he's that clumsy ogre who runs in and gets us trained every time. And then you've got this other guy who's got all the uber gear. He's really good at the game, and he's seen as a god in the game. But in real life, this guy, you know, might be down on his luck. You don't know. And that's what I like about EverQuest. I think it doesn't matter where you come from, what your background is, what you're doing in real life. It's a good place to not get judged. And that, I've always felt that with the community with EverQuest and other games out there. And I've played
you
them.
You just reminded me of something.
So FIFA and stuff like that, which I've played, and my lads have played, my children play other games. So toxic. So toxic. No one pats you on the back for being good. You actually get, if you're good, you get just shouted at, or, you know, someone moaning at you, or, you know what I mean? With EverQuest, you haven't got that sort of thing in the game. It's all good community.
It is a bit more camaraderie, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think it still is.
That's lovely to hear, in a way that you found that again, because I know you were looking for that. I mean, number of conversations we had before you went back to EverQuest, where you said, you know, I went back to it, I had a try, it's not the same, that a guild and that lot, and then you kind of give it up. But this time round, it seems like you found it again.
Yeah, I know you wanted to say something. I just reminded you of something. You wanted to say that. So before you forget what you're going to say, go to that and I'll come back to something.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say, just a memory of somebody that joined our guild for a short time, somebody else that was a female wood elf. And I can't remember what they played. It might have been a ranger. It might have been a druid. I can't remember which. I do remember that I really thought this was a female, and the way that I spoke to them and everything. Yeah, I remember them turning around once sometime and said, you do realize I'm a bloke, right?
my name's Greg.
Yeah, I'm Bert, and I'm big and I'm fat. there was
a lot of that going on. I mean,
people getting married in game. Yeah, I remember going along to a few of them.
Oh yeah, the weddings in game and stuff like that. And that doesn't seem to go on so much now with the guild side of things. I think that really brought us more invested in the game.
Yeah, the guild kind of took over in a sense, managing the guild. And I remember we had a message board, you know, so we had this guild board outside the game. We did a lot of talking and writing little stories and all sorts of things. We tried to organize things in there. I remember some of our members went on to become moderators in that board, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things going on at the time.
Didn't have time to level up. I was too busy to do work. I was dealing with people's emotional issues and things and grievances on the board. We seemed to manage to help everyone else to level up, but we couldn't level ourselves up.
And that was where I was going to sort of try and squeeze in the last little bit, because we're coming to the end of this one, and I'll probably have you back on another time and just reminisce, because I do enjoy it, is obviously the changing of characters, which was obviously Dark Glassian was a warrior, wasn't really needed. I went through this through my podcast on the episode one, so I won't go through it again. And obviously I created Akroma, which was the bard.
Yep. I didn't tell anybody who you were.
I didn't for a while, no, because that was my sort of escape from the guild, wasn't it?
Remember you making a little character, you know, a persona. You were this young girl, and someone else in our guild absolutely latched onto you, and you were, you know, you felt so guilty and that you had to lie to them. You made up the stories about where you lived and
Oh, yeah, because I just wanted that. That was my character away from the guild, just so I could actually play, because every time I logged on, something was kicking off or somebody wanted to do that. And I was always helping somebody, and I just wanted to have some time just for me in the game. And that's where, I mean, eventually I outed myself and Akruma was, everybody knew was me. But yeah, for a few months, that was my escapism with Akruma.
More than a few months.
But I really enjoyed that class. That's why I think I'd stuck with it. I don't think it was a plan to stay as that character. It was just a class I could play. The Bard, for me, the class I've enjoyed the most out of every other class in the game. And I've played a few, but not to the level of the Bard. Remember that guild member created us a character called Dargilda?
Yes, I was going to mention Dargilda, because there was Darglassian and there was Gildor, my character. And he used that to create a new character, knowing that we would be the ones that would
have access,
level it up or whatnot. So Dargilda, was that our enchanter?
That was the enchanter, which became your main, if I remember, eventually.
In the end, I played her so much to level her up. I used Gildor to level her, but that's another story.
That's where we kind of changed classes, and we then sort of went on to some of the other levels. I think, I can't remember, you got Gildor quite high up there. I think you got him to the levels, but obviously when Pains of Power, I think that's when you started then moving across to Dargilda more as your main. I was then more Akruma as my main, as the Bard.
And yeah, it was about getting groups, and ultimately an Enchantress was always desired. And so I would bring Gildor in as my second, unless somebody else came in. You know, I wouldn't exclude other people because I've got my little ranger in there as an extra. You know, we continue looking for, be available to open to other people, that kind of thing. And I'd leave Gildor on the outside and I might just fire off a few arrows and things anyway. But Dargilda was easily became my main, even though I didn't want her to be. And I almost thought about marrying Gildor and Dargilda in the game, in a sense, to bring them into level in some respect, because I was using her to make money to buy kit for Gildor from the bazaar and stuff like that, because it was so much easier to play her and make money and get upgrades and stuff. It just seemed to be much, much easier class.
Yeah, I think I will probably go into that on another time. I'll have you back as a guest on the show. Hopefully people enjoy listening to us two old heads go, you know, reminiscing. But yeah, for me, obviously, we're wrapping up in a sec. Again, I thank you for coming on, Simon. I can't wait to have you back as a guest again to discuss probably the changes of when Planes of Power came out and how the game changed and our experiences. And then probably the time where we left EverQuest, and we'll go through that on the next time you're on. And then obviously I wouldn't mind to have a bit of a chat with you, and people can listen of where I am now, talk to you about the changes of the new EverQuest. And I know I've tried to get you to come back on and you've not, but it'd be nice to have a chat.
A few questions and compare it to how things used to be, to see how the game has actually changed. So that might be interesting for your listeners. Yeah,
that's brilliant. So again, I thank you, Simon, for coming onto the podcast. Have you got anything to say to end this podcast?
Well, just that for those who are listening, I hope you've enjoyed the game for however many years that you have. My warning would be, don't let it take over your life. You've got to have a life outside as well. And that was part of the reason we left. But we'll come to that, I'm sure.
Simon with his health warning there. So Simon, thank you very much for coming on. I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, Darren. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.